From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Journalist and author David Halberstam died early today at the age of 73. He was in a car crash near San Francisco. Halberstam had been a young reporter in Vietnam for the New York Times, a reporter who called U.S. military briefers on their misleading and overly encouraging accounts of the war back in the 1960s. His book, The Best and the Brightest, told the story of how Kennedy and Johnson-era policymakers walked the country into a quagmire. This is David Halberstam on a panel discussion that was featured on C-SPAN this past January when he was talking about the wars in Vietnam and the war in Iraq.
I think that both Vietnam and Iraq, we were going against the history. In Vietnam, just a clearly a colonial shadow from the French Indochina War. And in Iraq, a more complicated one, going back to the Crusades, Christian versus Islam, obviously Sunni, Shiite things. My view was, and I think it's because of Vietnam, that the forces against us were going to be hostile, surprising to us. We would not be viewed as liberators. I thought the phrase I used before we went in was we were going to punch our fist into the largest hornet's nest in the world.
David Halberstam speaking in January. Author Neil Sheehan was also a reporter covering Vietnam in the early days and later wrote the book A Bright Shining Lie about those times. He and David Halberstam were close friends for many years after their assignment together in Saigon. And Neil Sheehan, what do you remember most about your best friend David Halberstam?
I remember most the years we were together in Saigon, because we had a partnership there. We worked together, and he was wonderful to work with. He was David was an original. He was an original in his total dedication to his work, in his integrity, in his courage. He had a lot of moral courage. He had moral courage as well as physical courage, and he had a love of the craft and a love of reporting, which is very deep.
Yes. His subjects for books well after Vietnam and The Best and the Brightest ranged over the auto industry, the mass media, professional basketball. He seemed to be a man of tremendous curiosity.
Oh, yeah, David was a man of absolutely natural curiosity. I mean, that's why his reporting was of such scope after he began writing books. I mean, he was a natural reporter in that sense. He was interested in everything, and he also had the energy, extraordinary energy, physical and intellectual, to get to the bottom of something, to root it out, if you will, and to go for the central thing. He had an expression I remember he used in Saigon once. He said, "One has to go for the juggler." Mm-hmm. What he meant was to find the central point, the most important thing, and to go for it. In that quote, the plate of him speaking about Iraq, there he is again. You know, he's going right to the heart of it, and that was very characteristic of him. And also, David was very loyal to his friends and to those who worked with him. He dedicated one of his books to me, and I was very touched by it. Something called The Teammates. It was about three ball players, Dominic DiMaggio and Johnny Pesky, and then a guy named Bobby Dorr, who were friends of Ted Williams. And the two of them, Pesky and Dominic DiMaggio, went down to see Ted Williams when he was dying. And David dedicated it to my own beloved teammate, Neil Sheehan. I mean, we stayed friends all of our lives, but it started when we were young reporters in Vietnam, and those were wonderful years together. It was a wonderful beginning, but it was a wonderful friendship that went on through. But he was also loyal to so many of his other friends, and in a fight, David was always on. He was right there with you.
I remember many years ago hearing David Halberstam talk about his first reporting jobs, going down south during the civil rights era, and eventually landing a job with the Nashville Tennessean.
Yes,
and
that's right.
He was very much a daily newspaper man who believed in that craft and was excited and proud of what he did in those days.
He certainly was, and you know, he'd been on the Harvard Crimson. He was editor of the Harvard Crimson, and then he went down and he became a reporter on the West Point Mississippi News Leader, and then he went up and he was a reporter on the Nashville Tennessean. He was very proud of having been on the early civil rights movement, and later on he wrote a book about it, but he brought to that sort of thing the same kind of integrity he brought to everything else. I remember once he told me that the then editor of the West Point Mississippi Newsreader got very nervous over stories David was writing about the civil rights movement for the Reporter magazine. And he said, David, couldn't you write for Field and Stream? But David was not the sort who would ever back off. He was not going to write for Field and Stream. I mean, he never backed off from pressure. Once I remember we were in Saigon, and we had called the commanding general the night before because they hadn't wanted to let us get near a major defeat. And the next day they had a briefing, and the operations officer, who was an arrogant brigadier general, started giving us a lecture for calling the commanding general at home to tell him that we needed transportation to get out to see what had happened. And I could see David getting more and more angry. And finally, his arm shot out, and he pointed at this brigadier general, and he said, "General, we are not corporals. We do not work for you. We work for our editors. If you've got a complaint, talk to our editors." He had a very deep sense of the duty of being a reporter and the responsibilities that it entails. And
remarkably, that story about we work for editors, or his problems with the editor in West Point, Mississippi, are stories told by a man who achieved so much as a journalist that he could tackle a subject, I assume usually of his choosing, approach it at book length, and be an influential journalist without the usual intermediary of the newspaper, the magazine, the network, whatever it might be, to report through. He truly was the independent freelance journalist.
Oh, yes. That was because, first of all, you know, his talent as a reporter, and his dedication to it. But he went to Japan to write that wonderful book on the competition with the auto industry. And he had a great deal of trouble initially getting interviews with Japanese he wanted to talk to. And finally, with persistence, he got to talk to one Japanese person he'd been wanting to interview for a long time. And the Japanese guy said to him, "Halberstam, you have the samurai spirit." I mean, he had that persistence and that courage to go to Japan and stay there and report a book and take all the economic risks involved. And he did it. David never shirked from that kind of thing. And that's what made him such a great guy and such a great reporter.
Well, Neil Sheehan, thank you very much for talking with us.
You're welcome.
About, your friend, David Halberstam.
He was my best friend, and I shall miss him all the days. Never thought I'd lose him, and will miss him all the days of my life. Take care. Well,
thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Neil Sheehan was talking to us about his friend, writer David Halberstam, who died early today in a car crash in Menlo Park, California, near San Francisco.